This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these spring months, we've had the privilege of conversing with remarkable individuals. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we're heading down to Colorado to talk to two brothers, AJ and Justin, from the band A Brother's Fountain and founders of the video production company Stoked Ember. AJ and Justin share their favorite outdoor memories both domestically and abroad, and how both their band and video production company came to be. We also talk about their great music video for the song Get Up and Go, and the trip behind the video. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guests, AJ and Justin. Welcome everyone to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. Have some really fun guests today. AJ and JJ, the Fountain Brothers, are here with us. We're going to be learning about their amazing outdoor experiences, some of their projects, including their folk band and their outdoor video production company. Thank you guys for joining me on the podcast. We always like to start off by having the guests kind of share a little bit about themselves and how they got started hiking.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, Ivan. We're stoked to be on the podcast with you and fun to just chat with a fellow outdoor enthusiast.
Yeah.
We actually are brothers with the last name Fountain. We also have another brother who lives in town with us as well, but isn't as involved with our band or video production company. But we grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we had a really, you know, nice, blessed childhood, loving parents, you know, nice suburban life in a lot of ways. But we were kind of feeling stifled back in Indiana and just had a sense of adventure in us since we were little. And our parents really instilled that in us in some epic trips out to Colorado, kind of planting the seed. So about 16 years ago, what would it have been, like 2000 and or so, we all three came out to Colorado, me and my two younger brothers, Justin and our other brother, Josh. But we moved to different parts of the state, kind of doing different things. But then about 10 years ago, we all moved to Fort Collins, Colorado. So it's about an hour north of Denver. Yeah, we all kind of came out because the mountains were calling and we needed to go, if you will.
And I got to ask, like, what was it like going from Indiana that does have hills, but nothing like the Rocky Mountains? How was it with the change of scenery from going from Indiana to then Colorado?
Amazing. Loved Indiana. It's a great place to grow up. Amazing culture and community in Indiana, you know. You got the Midwest nice. And I noticed I was like, apparently I was waving too much and too often in Colorado. They don't wave as much as they do in Indiana when you're driving and whatnot. It was amazing. Yeah, it was a breath of fresh air for sure. Yeah, like AJ said, you know, growing up, we had gotten a taste of different areas of the country. And I'll never forget the first time I was in the backseat of the family car as we're driving I-70. You know, from Denver up through the mountains. And I was just like looking out the window, mind absolutely blown by how big and majestic the mountains were because it was the first time I had seen them. So yeah, definitely super fun and adventurous. Yeah, to come out to Colorado and kind of scratch that itch, if you will.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Midwest wave because I have a few buddies from Kansas. And that was one of my first questions when I went to visit them for the first time. We'd literally be driving and they'd just be waving at every passing car, and I'm like, do you know him? And they're like, no, it's just what we do here. And I was like, oh, totally. That's pretty cool. I like that. So now living in Colorado, guys, how would you describe the hiking scene in and around Fort Collins?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we've lived also like further up into the mountains. So Fort Collins is technically still the Front Range. So we're right up on the edge of the mountains. So it's still a short drive to get into at least some fun stuff. But we both formerly lived kind of further up into the mountains and have formerly been guides for a number of years, backpacking guides. When we first moved out here, yeah, I was doing working on a ranch, you know, doing like backcountry ski guiding and mountain bike guiding. And Justin was a whitewater rafting guide. Yeah, it feels like a lot more of a tame life, less mountains than I'd want always when we're down here. But it was also better for work reasons and just better community down here in a lot of ways, bigger community, better town that we love that supports the music and the arts and video production business. So I don't know. I guess speaking for myself, at least I do miss living up there in a lot of ways, but we go up all the time and we love just going on adventures up into the mountains to get inspired, to work on projects, to just laugh and giggle and get splashed on the river, all the things. So,
and I gotta ask, like, you guys having that background of backpackers and whitewater rafting guides, what are some of your favorite places to explore in-state?
Yeah, so many. That's a good question. It depends on what you're trying to explore, I guess. I would say, you know, low-key, you know, between us, Fort Collins is a really great place to live for hiking. In Denver and in Boulder, you know, you've got a lot of that hiking opportunities, but the trails just are really crowded. So Fort Collins, because it's, you know, an hour north, we're really close to Wyoming, which is like the least populated state in the country, I think. It sort of like has a lot more open areas that are a little less traveled. So I love the hiking, specifically the hiking in and around Fort Collins. And yeah, I mean, if you just open up your scope to like an hour drive north, northwest, you get up into some really vast territories that are just gorgeous, like Medicine Bow.
Oh, yeah.
That like you won't really find many other people. So that's the huge plus of Fort Collins. The downside to Fort Collins, though, to even the scale, is that we don't have a good ski hill nearby. So that's one of the bigger complaints, is like, really? You got to drive down through Denver and then up I-70 to get to all the best skiing. But it's at least like, to decent skiing, it's at least like, you know, 2 hour drive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And AJ, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, I like to cross country ski and kind of backcountry ski. So it's great. I mean, you can still access a lot of that around here. Less, you know, lift lines and less steep price. Instead of $250 a day lift ticket, you know, it's just so crazy to me these days. But yeah, that being said, we were with the band and we got to ski out in Utah just a couple weeks ago because we played on a ski hill and they gave us a lift ticket and it was a blizzard. And it was really fun. So I do love downhill skiing when I can as well. But yeah, we are really fortunate to live, like Justin said, you know, 100 miles, you can go to a lot of different areas. You know, I mean, even just a couple hour, a few hour drive. And now we're starting to really enjoy checking out Utah and Montana. Those are, you know, two of our other favorite states that it's just less kind of trafficked in a lot of ways compared to Colorado, but it's all fun. And there's so many spots in Colorado that we haven't even been to yet, or I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't even been to Telluride, and that's supposed to be epic Southwest Colorado. And I've lived here, you know, 15 years. So it's a mecca. Yeah, there's so many options. We're really blessed to call it home.
Yeah, I feel like Colorado is really in a prime spot because you have Utah, you have Wyoming, Idaho, even Nevada and the Southwest. As we're getting into the spring season, do you guys have any favorite neighboring states that you like to visit during the spring months?
Ooh, yeah, we go to Moab, Utah quite a bit. Yeah, that's Moab provides a little bit of extra warmth most springs in Colorado. So we frequent there, both for hiking, for mountain biking, for even rafting. We'll raft down the Colorado River as it floats kind of through Moab.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite sections.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah.
And now, guys, you guys have also had some epic international experiences. From the feed that you have on your video production website, it looks like you've been to some, you know, major outdoor hiking bucket list destinations. For our listeners, what are some of the more memorable ones that each of you have visited that you can share with us?
Ooh, that's a good question. I do immediately think of South Africa, Justin, and we did a music kind of documentary trip in South Africa that was unforgettable. And we didn't get to do a ton of hiking by any means, but we did go on a hike on the last day And it kind of started in the city. It was in Cape Town. It went up this mountain. I forget what the mountain's even called. But it was a good, I mean, I want to say 4,000 or 5,000 feet elevation gain. And we did not have enough water. And we're formerly guides, and so we're idiots. But yeah, it was definitely an unforgettable trip, because I don't think either of us were expecting it to be that much of a mental push at the end of a super long emotional trip. And it was just something that was, I'll never forget, that we just, the two of us kind of broed out on it, just the two of us. Actually, our other bandmates that were there with us had left. So it's kind of like the last day before we're flying home on a separate flight. And we just grinded up that hill. And then we got to the top, and then we were so happy. And there's like this kind of nice diner up there actually with some food. And we were so hungry and ravished that we were stealing food off of other people's plates. It was like a family that left, and like they still had food like on there. We're like, we're going to eat all that. So we took all the leftovers.
So it wasn't a hill, it was a mountain. I can't remember the name of the mountain. I wish we had like a podcast assistant. And we'd be like, well, look up the biggest mountain is in Cape Town. That's the one we hiked. There was this girl that wasn't doing too well. And we were like only halfway up, and we were really running low on water. But this girl was struggling, and she didn't have any water. And so I had, you know, a Nalgene with like maybe a quarter left. And I was hoping she'd just kind of, you know, see that I don't have a lot, take a couple sips, give it back. But sure enough, like we're halfway up, like we got a whole lot more to go. She takes that quarter of that Nalgene, and she takes a huge chug of it, and then pours the rest out like on her like face and hands, and then hands me back an empty water bottle. I was like, no.
Oh, man.
I was like, no. But she needed it, so that's for sure. But that was cool. I did a trip down to South America with a buddy back in like 2016. And we went to Patagonia, and it was absolutely mind-blowing. We did the W route, they call it, in the park down there. I'm trying to remember. Torres del Paine. That was amazing. Highly recommend. Very cultural experience. There's like, you're just meeting people from all over the world. And then similarly, a really epic hike we did was up to Machu Picchu. So that was kind of a bucket list hike, you know, that was really sweet to have done. Yeah, those are a couple of my favorites.
And Justin, I got to ask, because I've heard it's like a luck of the draw whether you get to see the spires down in Patagonia, because sometimes they're covered in clouds. Were you able to get a good day and see that spires that you see on social media and on the internet?
Yeah, the towers, what are they called? I think they're just like the main, it's like the main feature.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to remember the name of them, but and we did get to see them, and there weren't clouds, so we got lucky. Yeah, I did the little sunrise hike up there, and like the sun like shines on them really beautifully. And that was sweet. That was sweet. But like literally the whole area, the whole hike every day, the glaciers, you know, there's so many cool things to see, and like it's so mind-blowing all around. The towers are pretty sweet, but really the whole thing is just magnificent.
Yeah, it's definitely on my bucket list to make it down there one of these years and get a chance to see, all its natural beauty. Outside of traveling and hiking and outdoor experiences, guys, you guys are a part of a folk band by the name of A Brother's Fountain. Can you share a little bit about how that band came to be, and then also how you guys were able to incorporate the love of the outdoors into a lot of your music?
Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, Justin was playing music since we were little kids. Our dad would play as well a little bit. I didn't get into it until, sorry, the door just slammed. Hope it doesn't happen again. It's 1979, so. I got to go close the door real quick. Hang on.
No worries.
Justin can pick up the story. Oh, man. How did the band start? Where did we draw the outdoor? I mean, yeah. So when we first moved out here, like I said, we were living a little bit more of a nomadic mountain life. Justin was jamming, you know, playing music again since he was a kid. I didn't start till actually I was living in Thailand, teaching English abroad, and picked up a guitar when I was 23 and loved it. Immediately came back, started jamming with Justin, and I was actually living out with our other brother in the San Juan Islands, so kind of close to you. I don't know, have you ever been up that way to the San Juans?
Yeah, Orcas Island.
Yeah, so me and our other brother Josh lived in Friday Harbor, San Juan Island, and got to see Kayak Guide out there for 2 seasons, so that was a really unforgettable experience as well. But all I have to say is we were living out there. We got visited by Justin on a hitchhiking trip, right? Mm-hmm. Which is cool. You know, jamming on the porch. And he leaves. I'm supposed to meet up with my brother in Tahoe, and I'm down in San Francisco. And he says, hey, I met a girl in Fort Collins. I'm not coming to Tahoe to live with you anymore. Like, oh man, I gotta move to Tahoe alone. I don't know anyone there. It just seemed like a cool town with mountains around it. So we were going to move there. And then I was like, wait, both my brothers are going to be in Fort Collins. That'd be cool. What the heck? I should just go to Fort Collins. And we should all, you know, mob together, live together, fulfill a dream in a lot of ways. I don't know why that wasn't as much on the front burner as it, glad it came to be. And we all moved here together. And that's, I'd say more or less when the band started. Maybe started a few months before actually I even got here. But yeah, that was about 10 years ago. And yeah, I mean, I think as far as how the, you know, the outdoors influences our music, it's everything. I mean, it's not everything, but it's at the core. I mean, what we want to do with the Brothers Fountain is mix community, you know, and friendship and the outdoors and music, those three things. So it's the lifeblood of the band in so many ways. Those experiences before we were even a band, you know, guiding folks through those areas and just falling in love with the mountains and the way that it can make us go deeper and push us physically and mentally in all the ways and spiritually. So, yeah. It's kind of always been a part of the band, and a lot of songs are inspired by the mountains for sure.
Yeah. So to add to that, Ivan, I just saw this post yesterday on social media, this reel, and it totally blew my mind, and it was so perfect and beautiful. Basically what it was this musician that was showing all of his music equipment in his studio. And he's like, he's talking about this piece of equipment. He mentions this piece of equipment and this does this and this does that. And then he said, and it's all absolutely useless without this. And he shows himself outside, you know, hiking. He shows himself traveling because that's where the inspiration starts. That's where it all comes from. So yeah, for us, we align with that message of just like our music is an outflow of ourselves, right? Of our inspiration. And we're not inspired unless we're feeding our souls. And the way that we feed our souls and stoke our flame is by getting outside and not just getting outside, but having shared experiences outside too, you know? Yeah. And getting uncomfortable, right? And all the things that the outdoors does pushes you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and, you know, it can rock the boat in those areas sometimes, which is sometimes what we need. So
I think a perfect example of how you guys are blending not just your love of music, but also the outdoors is your most recent music video for the song Get Up and Go. If folks haven't had a chance to watch the music video, we'll be sure to include the link in the episode show notes, but please do, because it looked like an amazing time recording the music video and doing the trip that you guys incorporated into it. For our listeners, can you share a little bit about how that music video came about, as well as the trip that you guys took?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So, oh man, it's a long story, but I'll try to think where I want to start the story,
because the 24-hour jam is pretty cool.
We can start there. So we decided we wanted to do a big adventure together, and the idea was, let's raise money, let's jam for 24 hours straight, or sort of host jamming, or just have a space where there's always music for 24 hours, even if it's just a shaker like in between songs. And then we'll use that money to buy a really cheap RV, and we're going to take it on this trip, right? And so we raised the money. The 24-hour jam was absolutely insane and chaotic and totally exhausting.
Oh, wrecked my body for weeks.
Yeah, we were like, you know, we're grown men. Like, we hadn't stayed up for 24 hours since we were in middle school. And
especially playing music.
It just totally destroys you. So
we did raise $4,000.
So we raised $4,000. We had committed before we raised money that whatever we raised, we would give half of it to the homeless shelter, the local Fort Collins homeless shelter. So we raised $4,000. We gave half to the homeless shelter. That gave us $2,000. And then we kind of had this deadline where we needed to go and buy this RV. And then like in 2 or 3 days, we were going to start the trip. And so we like rack our brains and like we scour the internet, right? Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist.
We were just knocking on doors too. We would drive down the street and if they had an old RV in the yard, we'd knock on their door.
We finally find an RV. We're basically like, does it run? He's like, yeah, it runs. We're like, we'll take it. And we like, you know, we show up, we buy the RV. We limp it back to Fort Collins from Denver. And then literally, Ivan, the next day, the CDC or whoever like gets on the main stage of America and starts shutting the whole country down for COVID. So that totally stopped that entire adventure. And then there was this whole other adventure that happens in between. That's the story I won't tell right now so I can get to the point, which is we ended up with this RV we're sitting in right now for $2,000. Got an incredible deal on it.
Drapes included.
Drapes included.
If you can believe it.
And kind of AJ, myself, and one of our drummers, Zach Bauman, sort of teamed up as the core team. And we like drew out the plan. We recruited some sponsorships. And we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to call it the Fill Me Up Tour. We're going to film the whole thing. And at every gas station that we stop at, we have to play at least a 15-minute set. No matter what, no matter if there's nobody there, no matter if it's awkward, whatever. Every time we fill up gas, we set up our acoustic instruments and play a little like street show, right?
Which is a lot because we get about 7 miles to the gallon on this house.
Yeah. It's like less, like 5 or 6 miles to the gallon.
Oh, man.
So we're making a lot of stops at these gas stations. Some of the gas stations didn't like that we were playing music and would kick us out. Some of them loved it. Sometimes people ignored us. Sometimes people loved us. But it was kind of a street busking tour because we would play on the streets of Flagstaff and these different places we went in addition to playing at the gas stations. But it was also kind of just a road trip, you know, so just kind of living out of the RV, going and playing yard games and camping and hiking and exploring. So it was magical. Yeah.
You guys definitely caught it on film. And I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, some gas stations didn't like it because there is a clip in the music video where one of your bandmates mentions like getting kicked out, and I love the response. I think it's something along the lines of like too much rock and roll. And the trip that you guys did, it was across the Southwest, right? And you guys hit up some national parks along the way too. What states did you hit up and which national parks?
Sure, it was New Mexico, went kind of to Taos, and then it was over in Arizona. Loved Flagstaff.
Arizona, yeah,
that's a great town.
Yeah,
because we were busking on the streets and someone from like the city came out and they're like, this is awesome. You guys are so cool. Can we put you on our Instagram and all this stuff? So felt welcome there. That's for sure. Nice. Yeah, it's a cool little town. But yeah, hit up what? Zion National Park.
Yeah.
So we got Moab. We did a raft. Did we do a rafting trip? Yeah.
We went down
the river for a couple of days.
We went to Nevada. We went to Las Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
No way.
We did a lot of, it was like, cause we had this big RV, right? And we wanted to take the RV somewhere, like to places that were cool and like off the beaten path. So I remember like spending way too much of my time on that trip, just researching places that were cool and remote and dispersed and free to go and set up the RV to sort of boondock, you know, and just be out there with the RV and hang out. So freecampsites.net was my friend for that journey. But sometimes we would go, like I would pick a spot, like I think this might be cool, it might not. And then we would be on these back roads with this RV, and then it would get a little hairy. And I think a couple we had to back out. We're like, I think we're going to need a Jeep to get through this. So.
Not a 1979 Itasca.
I think in the music video, you guys also included you got stuck in a little bit of sand and had to get it pulled out, right?
That's right. Yeah. We got super stuck. We got so stuck. It was a web of lies, a whole web of roads that were not legit, and I went down the wrong way, and yeah, we got stuck. But they had like, you know, this tow guy that was just at the ready. This was at Lake Powell. I forget the name of the specific spot, but we went to like Lake Powell where a bunch of RVs go, and yeah, we got toast in the sand.
How long of an adventure was this? How many days?
I want to say about a month, maybe a little less than a month. Yeah, okay. 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, so yeah, good amount of time at each place that you guys stopped at then.
Yeah. It was. You always almost want a little more in a way, but it was a long time to be.
We found some cool spots we wish we could have spent more time at, but yeah, it was good. It was a good pace.
But honestly, the coolest part of that whole trip, I mean, the sights, the hiking, the mountains, just the vibes in the RV as you're going down the road playing music, that was all cool. But for me, the coolest part about the trip was when we named it the Fill Me Up Tour, it was because we were stopping to get a lot of gas, but it was also because we wanted to examine, especially with COVID hitting, like what fills us up in life. It's like, and we wanted to ask others, what fills you up in life? And kind of like you're doing with this podcast, Ivan, like, you know, share stories with others and hear their stories. And because everyone has a story to share and can learn something from everyone in a way. So it was pretty special just to go deep as a group of guys and gals. We had our wives and girlfriends out for a little bit. And every morning we would get together and kind of do like an intentional time where we would dive deeper into something, you know, more on the spiritual side, I would say. And that was pretty moving. And it was cool too. When we would play at the gas station, some people would be really weirded out. You know, most people would ignore us, but some people would be like coming up to us. And we met some people like, and like immediately kind of got deep with them and like ended up giving some people some rides and jamming with people and hearing their story. And like, yeah, I met some other musicians that we got to play with at the gas station on multiple occasions, which was really cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We took on a hitchhiker for a few days. Yeah.
Oh, man. So I got to ask, guys, because it sounds like you had a blast on this trip. Is there any potential for a sequel?
You know, might have just planted a seed. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because we did do the music video. So you've seen the Get Up and Go music video, and that's a good, like, quick hitter experience of the trip. But we are going to release sort of an extended version where we'll do about 10 minutes in chapters for about 4 chapters of that trip and give an opportunity for the viewer to go on a deep dive with us on that trip.
Oh, that's dope. So,
yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Sure to get silly.
Yeah.
So I got to ask, guys, what's in store for the band in 2024? And I know you guys have a couple live gigs lined up. If folks do want to catch you performing live, where are some of the places you'll be at this spring?
Let's see. We just did a big show in our local town here that we were so pleased with, the Aggie Theater, kind of releasing this album that we got to record in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, which was a really cool experience. So we're going to be releasing a song from that album for the next couple months, every couple weeks. So that'll be fun. I mean, this summer we're playing at another local festival here in Fort Collins called Foco MX in April. That's the next gig. So yeah, we'll be playing around town. And we also host a festival every year up in the woods where we like to mix community and the outdoors and music. And we invite some other bands. So that's called Jamaland. Jamaland, Jamaland, a word we made up 10 years ago or whatever. And yeah, this will be our 8th year and we're really excited about that as well. So that'll be August 16th through August 18th. So if you like camping.
Yeah, it's awesome. That'd be kind of one of the bigger recommendations probably to the audience of this podcast that loves the outdoors, because it's like the essence of what we love. You know, it's sort of our mantelpiece weekend of music, combining community with the outdoors with music in the best way. It's up in Red Feather Lakes, Colorado, which is northwest of Fort Collins, getting close to Wyoming. But just a gorgeous area. There's just free dispersed camping everywhere. So people bring their vans and cars and tents and rigs, you know, and they set up and have their own little space and like just walk down to the stage area. And there's a little lake nearby and stuff like that. So it's sweet.
Now, guys, outside of the band, you guys have also turned your passion for the outdoors towards a video production company by starting the company that you guys named Stoked Ember. Can you share a little bit about how that came to be?
Yeah, for sure. So the name Stoked Ember was created because obviously we love fires, we love camping, but it was based on the belief that we were alluding to earlier that everyone has a story to share. Everyone has an ember, you know, inside of them, a passion. And sometimes, you know, it's fun to come along and stoke that ember into a roaring fire and see what it really is, or show it to a wider audience or put it to the ultimate test. So we just like that concept of stoking the ember, and we want to, we just hope we can do that for all the businesses and people we come across with our video production company. So yeah, it was started 8 or 9 years ago, and I was coming out of another business, Dr. Squatch Soap Company, where I was working with a really cool startup that I learned a lot from and just loved entrepreneurship and wanted to keep that rolling. And Justin was coming off of his South America trip that he briefly mentioned down in Patagonia and all that. He went up the entire western coast, actually, of South America and, you know, filmed the whole thing and released chapters from that experience as well. And I was just really impressed with his skills with cinematography and the way he was diving into that and learning and editing. And it's like, hey, man, he got back. And I was like, what do you think? Work together. We can, you know, make this business happen. And, you know, you be more of the director and I can help more on the producing side. And yeah, so I wish I could say it's been a total perfect match and the perfect experience, you know, growing and running that business since then. It hasn't. It's had its ups and downs, just like the band has, you know, and anything that's art or any business or passion that you want to pursue. So, but it has been a true honor, like greatest calling, if you will, for me in my life. It's just been getting to do that in a lot of ways and getting to help people share their story and going out and getting to dive into other businesses and people's story and helping them think about how we can tell that in a lot of ways. It's just a lot of fun to me. So yeah, we definitely prefer working with outdoor focused companies just because, again, that's our background and that's what we love. We love going out and in the wild and doing projects out there, but we definitely work with a lot of local businesses as well, or, you know, small businesses that maybe, you know, they just have a shop. We've worked with a local outdoor kind of clothing brand recently, and, you know, they're just their little shop, but they're also inspired by the outdoors. So it's like, cool, let's go up to the local reservoir. Let's film up there, you know, get some interviews of where you get your inspiration, which is similar to us. And so those are the kind of projects we like with that. And we're always trying to merge too the band with the video production business in beneficial ways. So exploring, you know, different ways we can do that is always on the agenda as well. Mm-hmm. They definitely can help each other in certain ways.
From the reels and videos that you've already posted on your website, you guys jump right into the action in order to get some of these amazing shots. Are there any memorable productions that you guys got a chance to create?
I do think we worked with another really cool local guiding company, actually. Could be a good guest on your podcast, actually, is Milo and Chelsea Gomez. They own a local guiding company called Sojourners out of Fort Collins here, where they do climbing, hiking, backcountry skiing, all that. We got to work on a project with them last year, and it was in the winter. And of course, again, it was like a blizzard of a day, which, I mean, it's not really ideal for, you know, filming. Most filmmakers would be like, no way am I going out there with all my nice expensive gear. And we're like, you know, let's do it. And so we went up into Rocky Mountain National Park and got to film up there and, you know, just freeze our butts off.
I lost some nerve endings on my fingers from that shoot, man. I was a sitting duck in the cold and wind setting up this, you know, the ski shot of this up in the blizzard. But it was so epic. It was so fun. And we packed it in. Yeah, we did skiing, hiking, climbing. And like, what else would we do? Interviews all in one day.
Snowshoeing. Yeah.
Crazy. Love it.
Now, I feel like you guys are very much storytellers, whether it comes to your music and the band or your video production company. What's each of your guys' approach to storytelling, whether it is with music or video?
Ooh, man. So I'll do the music. AJ can do the video, which makes sense because AJ kind of runs point for the video production company, and I'll jump in and help where he needs, and then vice versa for the music for me. So yeah, for music, what I want to do, Ivan, is I want to just become always a better storyteller. And I listen to different bands and musicians, and I hear their storytelling, and I'm just like blown away. And sometimes I take it the wrong direction and I get discouraged because I'm like, how can I tell a story that good? Like, I just can't. It's so beyond me, right? But I think for me personally, it's more, like I said before, like really trying to inspire myself and allow a flow state, right, of creation to flow out of me. And in order to do that, I have to be inspired, or I have to be learning, or I have to be hurting, or I have to be, you know, experiencing something new. And so that's the lifeblood of telling stories and creating music to begin with. But it's fun. We have a very collaborative environment in the band. And even within the band, there's, you know, half of us are songwriters and singers. And so we'll share the microphone, you know, in the limelight, and different guys will perform different songs that they wrote, or we'll write songs together, or we'll just support somebody in just their song or whatever it is. So sometimes one of us will really go inward and we'll write a song kind of inward, and then we'll bring it to the band, and then we'll figure out how we want to perform it. But a lot of times we'll be out rafting or hiking or road tripping. You know, we'll co-create something together where, you know, AJ has this idea that he's saying or singing, and then I kind of add on to that, and then one other band member jumps in. And so it kind of runs the gamut of just being free-flowing and fluid as far as how we come up with songs and who writes them.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities between the band and the video production company because we're both in both. But for me, I'm a lot more socially, relationally wired, very relationship driven person. So to piggyback on the tail end of what Justin was saying there about the band stuff, I'm the same way with storytelling in Stoke Denver. It's, to me, it's about the collective experience and utilizing different people's strengths, come up with the best formula or story. So yeah, I love working on teams with our productions. And originally it was just me and Justin, but now we get to work on a little bit bigger team sometimes where there's three or four or five of us. And I really like that just team atmosphere, working together to create something, you know, bigger than all of us that we can stack hands on. So that's a big foundation of my storytelling, I guess, if that makes sense.
When it comes to Stoke Denver, do you guys do productions for out-of-state companies? Like if they send you the gear, you guys are able to make a promo video or just a general video for that company?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can do it all. Yeah, we can work, you know, different states, different countries, and make things happen for sure like that. Yeah, and if it's like that with like a gear company, you know, we do like a little bit more of the interview storytelling style video, documentary style. We can do, you know, like promo videos of gear specifically, but like we definitely prefer, I guess, a little bit more storytelling, you know, getting with the founders, hearing why they're passionate about this, and testimonials as well, like working with customers or clients that they're friends with and just hearing their story of working with that person. And it's everything these days with Amazon and Yelp, and you know, everyone wants to read reviews and hear about the experience before working with someone. So I think that's really important for companies to make sure that they're emphasizing storytelling through testimonials of their favorite clients.
One of the videos that you guys have on your website that got my attention, because I'm a big supporter of them, is Garage Grown Gear.
Oh, yeah, I love Garage Grown Gear. It was awesome.
Yeah, they're the best. Yeah.
We got to road trip out to Jackson. And
just on the other side of Jackson there. What's that town called?
Ogden?
Something, yeah.
And it was near Jackson. It was just gorgeous, man. It was just so beautiful. And we went up on these cool different hikes, and they brought some of their gear we got to feature. And the gear that Garage Grown Gear sells is so cool.
Yeah. It's like made by like actual local, you know, hikers as well. And it's just, they really do a good job supporting small businesses and like supporting not just small businesses just to do that, but actually finding those small businesses that have amazing gear that can withstand actual endurance, you know, sports. Like it's like the most lightweight of everything meant for backpacking. So it's pretty cool.
I love them. And at least for me personally, I get my backpacking dehydrated food from them.
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's a good idea. I need to hit them up for that.
Now, switching gears back to hiking, I feel like a lot of day hikers especially have a regular, whether it's a summit routine or end of the hike routine. You know, for many, it's packing a favorite snack or drink. For others, it's a moment of zen. And then for a few of us, it's that meal afterwards, after you're off the trail. Is there a regular customer routine that each of you do when you make it back out or when you reach your final destination?
Sometimes when I'm going backpacking for multiple days, I will bring a whole sleeve of raw cookie dough.
Oh, that's true. You do that.
Oh,
it's not even the safe kind where you can eat it after a few days. It's got, I'm sure that's got eggs in it.
It's just marinating. But it's so delicious. And then like, because you're burning so many calories, you don't have to feel guilty about it. So you just nom on cookie dough for days.
I might have to steal that one from you.
That's awesome. Try to think if I have one. I mean, it's so cliche, but I'm a beer guy. So like just having a, you know, a nice cold beer, even if it's just one or two, if you're backpacking for that peak day or whatever it is, you know, maybe put it in the little stream to get it cold. But yeah, in Fort Collins, we're like the mecca of craft beer around here with New Belgium and Odell and a lot of other good ones. Right. So yeah, Fat Tire if you're from New Belgium. Yeah.
Both of you guys being such well seasoned and experienced travelers and backpackers, I'm interested in seeing if either of you have a luxury item that you tend to carry that kind of falls outside of your essentials list. You know, for some, it's the camera. For others, it's a book. You know, is there any luxury item that you guys pack on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. I have several. I have too many luxury items. I need to have less, probably. Yeah. Sometimes I like to bring a nice pipe and pipe tobacco as a luxury item, a flask. I'm not a real like hard alcohol guy or like a huge whiskey drinker, but when I go on the trail, I love, you know, as a luxury item to throw in the pack, I love a flask. There's something about it. A flask of whiskey or rum or whatever. Also, it's kind of fun to have a little squirt gun. So that's a luxury item that I highly recommend. Obviously, like, it's more fun if you're hiking with other people. But what you do is you fill that squirt gun and nobody knows you have it. And then as you're hiking, you kind of, you know, squirt the person in front of you or like behind you or, you know, the back of their calf. And then you hide it. And then they think, did I get pooped on by a bird? Like, is it raining? You know, you can watch them just go crazy, like wondering where they're getting wet from. It's the best. It's so funny.
For me, that's tough. I was going to say, I do like a nice chair. I got made fun of. This is on the river, on a rafting trip, so you can bring a little more than just a crazy creek. But I brought this collapsible rocker chair. I forget the brand now, but it's so comfortable. It's just for your posture, cup holder. It's just so nice at night. So that was beyond luxurious. And everyone on the trip hated me. Every day we had to pack that baby back up. But
yeah, AJ turned into a bougie chair guy, a bougie camp chair guy.
Oh, man, it's so nice.
And we're like, are you kidding me, dude? It's just like too much. It's too much.
Beth. Well, yeah. The other thing, too, that I bring sometimes, it's controversial. It might get booed off your podcast if this was a live feed. But I do like to have a nice speaker as well sometimes. Uh-oh. And I'm not blaring all while I'm hiking. Hey, no, I'm all about, like, you know, hike in peace, don't disturb others,
turn it off.
But hey, sometimes happy hour, just a little light, you know, folk music, or like in the morning, just, and not if there's other people
around. Yeah, I can vouch for him. He's very respectful and he's got great music taste, so everyone always loves it anyways. And it's not all the time, it's just certain moments, and it just hits right usually.
Yeah. Okay,
thank you, Justin. I can vouch.
I like those. I like the rocking chair, to be honest with you. I mean, it'd be a burden to pack and carry, but oh man, that would feel nice next to the campfire, just rocking, enjoying your meal. Sounds like a good time.
Oh yeah, best.
Now, we're still at the very beginning of 2024, guys. Do each of you have any hiking or travel goals for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we are looking at getting... We've been enjoying this concept we call the Fireside series, where we go out and we get on the river typically, and then we record music on the side of the river every night after going down. And we actually have some Fireside music available and out to the public on Spotify if anyone wants to check it out. It's kind of cool because you can hear the crickets chirping and sometimes the river going by, or, you know, the fire crackling. And it's just rough acoustic stuff of us jamming by the fire. But we play some songs out there. And yeah, we're looking to do another one of those. You're coming up, and that'll be a hoot for sure.
That's the best, though. Yeah, we all like set aside about a week every year. We've done it the last couple of years now, and it's just the best. We'll get, because you can hear, if you listen close to our Fireside music, you can hear the fire crackling in the background, or like a little bit of wind, or even like the river or some crickets. And so what we do is we just all circle around a fire, just like you would, you know, with a bunch of acoustic instruments. And then I just set up a few field microphones. And then we just say, our saying is, we say 3 take minimum, 5 take maximum. And we'll just take a song we've been working on, or maybe we just wrote it or whatever. And we say go, and we go and see how it does. We love that. And it's because it's multi-purpose, you know, it forces, we commit, we stack our hands, like we're going to record at least one song around the fire every night. And a lot of times it's more like 3 or 4 that we record. And so it forces us to be creative. We're songwriting together, but we're outside doing what we love. And we're just like spending great quality time together, connecting, getting inspired. So those fireside trips that we do every year are pretty epic.
It's an album, right?
So it's an album series. So Fireside 1 is out. All of the songs from Fireside 2, and this is where it gets a little confusing, have been released as singles. They'll be bundled together into Fireside 2. So we're just numbering them off. So we're trying to do one every year. So Fireside 3 hopefully will be released later this year, early next year. But as far as traveling, my wife and I just went to Southeast Asia, which was amazing. My first time out there. We did Indonesia, Thailand, per AJ's recommendation, because he taught English in Thailand for a while. And the last country we went to in Southeast Asia was Vietnam. So that was really sweet. Just an amazing, amazing trip. Did a little bit of hiking in Thailand, but mostly just kind of hung out and snorkeled and surfed. So, and then, yeah, any other trips? I'm trying to think. We're always going on little like mini tours, we call them. We like to tour for like 3 to 7 days at a time. We'll typically go up to to Montana or Utah or Wyoming, but trying to expand the scope of our audience, you know, and we want to get out to Salt Lake City and who knows, you know, go all the way down to Albuquerque or, you know, go back to Flagstaff. So
Pacific Northwest.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
we got to get up there.
Yeah.
Pacific Northwest tour.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You might have a whole bunch of smelly bandmates show up at your doorstep.
All about it, guys.
Can I just say, there's just been this thing I've wanted to plug and I keep forgetting to. But Ivan, we just released a song called Get Your Ass Outside. Did you know that?
No.
I thought that might be appropriate to mention, yeah, considering your audience. So you seem to enjoy Get Up and Go, which is quite a similar song, just encouraging people to get up, right, and go and do fun things and stuff. But we just released what a lot of people are really loving, and especially the outdoor community. Yeah, Get Your Ass Outside. It's out there, and we recorded it in Muscle Shoals, Alabama at Fame Studios. It was kind of our first studio experience, not having to DIY all the recording and actually have professionals help us. And Get Your Ass Outside is the first one released off of the EP from that studio. So just released it a few days ago. So
nice. We'll be sure to link it in the episode show notes too, so people can check it out.
Heck yeah.
Perfect song as you're driving up to the trailhead of your hike.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that was it for the regular questions. This last little bit of the podcast is the this or that questions. I'm going to give each of you 10 hiking, outdoor related topics, and you guys just choose the one that you personally gravitate towards. The first one, steep incline or steep decline?
Steep incline for me.
Incline for sure.
Yeah,
I love it.
And then waterfalls or summits?
I recently saw some really epic waterfalls in Southeast Asia, and I'm kind of on a waterfall kick right now, so I'm gonna go waterfall.
Yeah, I'm permanent waterfall team. Fountain is in our last name, so you have to. It's like it's in our blood.
Yeah,
and you get the rinse off. You get to, you know, cold water therapy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Total sensory experience.
Yeah.
Now, this next one, guys, is a trail system question. Do you prefer trails with a switchback or just going straight up?
I like the switchbacks. I know some people hate them. I like them. I like it nice and gradual. Get me in a nice rhythm, a nice groove. I'm not pumping too hard. I'm not straining too much. I'm just grooving.
100%. Same answer. Let's groove on some switchbacks, you know what I mean? Better. It's actually, I think, better too for the, creates less kind of waterways where water can just run. That's why you don't want a trail cut.
Yeah.
Because erode the trails. So yeah, plus it's easier, it's more sustainable. I'm all about it. I love switchbacking all day. Going straight up, that's like, okay, I'm gonna need some breaks.
Now, do you guys rock trek poles or do you prefer to hike freehand?
I'm a freehand guy. I respect the trekking poles. I respect them highly. I can understand the value, but I love to do too many things with my hands while I'm hiking. Like, if I can have a cup of coffee, and I'm milking that thing, you know. If we're hiking at, you know, 7 or 8 a.m., I'm going to have a mug in my hand while I'm hiking for a good, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours. It makes me feel like I'm just out on a stroll, you know, more than the trekking poles kind of make me feel like I'm a little more serious. I'm like here to do business. I like to have free hands. I like to eat, you know, eat snacks, little sunflower seeds, or, you know, I like to touch the trees and all that. So, and I just can't handle it's too much going on with the poles for me. But are you a pole guy?
I don't usually use poles, but I wish I did. If that makes sense, I always see people out there with them. I'm like, that would have been smart. More of a full body workout. I like that fact that you get an upper body workout.
It's true.
And it's just multiple points of contact.
Safer.
Safer.
Yeah.
Although I did learn recently that you actually don't want anything, well, some people would say you don't want anything in your hands or less things in your hands when you're hiking or walking or running, because there's this theory or mechanism that goes on in your head when you fall that you actually hold on to the thing in that moment. Instead of, like, if you have your cell phone, you kind of hold on to your cell phone and like save it and then sacrifice your body, as opposed to kind of figuring a way out of the fall more gracefully. There's this instinct. Oh, it's, yeah, I think it's called the save the beer guy. You always see the videos of the guy falling, but he saves the beer. So that's like where I learned this theory. That's how they relate it to. It's like, so anyways, that's just one theory. But I'm sure if you had one pole, you'd get the safety of the third point of contact, would still have the handout. I don't know. One hand free, maybe. Who knows? Jury's out. scholars who debated for millennia.
Now, this next one, guys, is about footwear. Do you guys rock traditional hiking boots, or are you guys rocking trail runners now?
I'm minimalist all the way. Born to run guy, zero drop, you know, more minimalist barefoot style shoes. So I've been wearing barefoot style shoes for, like, yeah, since I read that book like 7 or 8 years ago, and have backpack guided and done all the things. I play pickleball in them. So I'm team minimalist, just to kind of let the foot do its thing with the arches that it was designed to do, and build up all the different muscles in the feet and the ankles and the legs to create stability. But I'm not like trying to preach that to people. If they want to have big boots, I mean, that's obviously a lot more ideal if it's like super muddy or snowy.
Yeah.
So I usually do bring boots if I'm experiencing it.
Yeah, for me, it depends. For me, it's totally just depends on the environment. I am a comfort guy, though. Comfort matters more than anything. When I would guide like at-risk youth on these, you know, 4, 5, 6 day backpacking trips, a lot of times they couldn't afford hiking boots, or we would have some extra hiking boots, you know, in the back that we could maybe get them. But they have the shoe that they just wear every day, and it's fully formed to their feet. It's comfortable for them. A lot of times I'll just have them wear that shoe. I'll be like, hey, you cool if it gets a little muddy, you know, or like,
and you know, a lot of times like, yeah, I'd prefer to just wear the shoes that I like wear.
And that's worked out wonderfully. It's when you get a foot in a new boot, right? Or a boot that it's not used to, that you start having problems. So I'm definitely a fan of comfort, but yeah, honestly, I hike in anything. I like to hike in Chacos, actually. That's like one of my favorite things to hike in. Just like my feet to feel the air, you know, feel the environment.
Now, this next one, guys, is another trail system question. Do you guys prefer a loop trail or now back trail?
Loop all the way, baby.
I'd be curious how many people would say out back and why, because I just feel like the loop is so superior, but maybe that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I guess it just
because it has fresh views the whole way.
Yeah, right? Fresh view, the freshness the whole
maybe
way.
Maybe someone who really likes to just know the route and like get acquainted with it and feel secure in that.
It is kind of a new, it's in a way, it's a new trail when you hit it from the other side, you know. But yeah, the loop for me on that one.
Now, this one, guys, is about your water carry system. Do you guys use a Nalgene or just a regular water bottle, or have you guys made the switch to a hydration pack or a Camelback?
I've actually made the switch back from a hydration pack to water bottles, and it's kind of a weird, I think the hydration system, Camelback system, is so much more efficient, easier to carry. You can have more water. You can stay hydrated easier. For some reason, I can't even fully explain it. I know one reason though is my Camelback system was freezing up on the cross country skis. If I have water bottles, I can still get in there and I can take bigger gulps, and it encourages me to take breaks and stuff like that too, which I think is fine. I'm not trying to like never take a break and like drink some water, have a snack. Like, probably be good to do that a few times on the way up. I'm not trying to set a land speed record here. So for that reason, I pack usually multiple water bottles.
Yeah.
And I like to have a fun drink too, maybe like a Spindrift, you know, or something like that, like a seltzer water.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in the same boat. I'm pretty convinced the Camelback bladder system is superior. If you're really serious about wanting to stay hydrated, about, you know, the ease of the water right there next to your face, you know, you don't have to go dig in for the bottle, then it's got to be superior. But I'm just lazy, and I just don't do it. I don't use it. I just have the bottles, and I like to think of the Nalgene as like my six shooter gun, you know, on the hip. So I got the bottle here, and I'm quick, man, because I don't got those trekking poles, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just on the go. I don't have to stop. You don't have to. Not everybody got to stop for me to have a water break. I'm just, you know, as we go, six shooters flipping them, you know, around in my fingers.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Well, then you got the molds. You got the mold issue with the Camelbacks.
The mold issue. The one other downside to the Camelback is it's a little bit less convenient than a water bottle to, you know, if you're out there getting water and you need to filter water, or you're doing iodine drops or bleach drops or whatever you're doing, it's a little bit more maintenance than the water bottle.
Now, these two are the hardest ones out of the list, guys. Do you guys prefer sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
I'm a sunrise guy. Yeah, ever since kind of getting to be old, I'm a sunrise guy now just because I love it. I love the way that that offers something beyond just that moment, but a whole day ahead of it in a way. And I just have more energy in the mornings. And if midsummer, the sunset might not be till like 9:30, something crazy. So I might be sleeping before the sun drops.
Yeah, I'm in that camp. But here's the thing though, Ivan, if you ask me, now which one I would prefer,
yeah,
it's going to be the sunrise because of all the same reasons. You got the whole day ahead of you. It's like the best way to start the day. You just feel like you accomplished something right off the bat of like getting up, seeing the sunrise. Like it's the best. I love the sunrise. But now if you ask me at 3 a.m., you know, when we have to get a 4 or 5, whatever it is, when we have to get up in order to experience that sunrise, it's probably going to be the sunset I'd prefer in that moment.
I can vouch for that. He's grumpy Bunnyford.
I love the sunrise. I love to see the sunrise, but I do not love having to wake up for it.
Now, Colorado is known for both of these, so I'm interested in hearing which one you guys prefer, but spring wildflowers or the fall colors?
Ooh.
I'm fall colors all the way.
Ooh,
I do love the spring wildflowers, but man, the fall, it does something in my heart and my soul that I can't explain. It doesn't run as deep on the wildflowers. Wildflowers, it gives me hope and possibility, which is cool, but oh man, that fall, I'm obsessed with fall. It's probably my favorite season.
Yeah, fall is cool. I'm going to go with spring on this one. It's because, well, here in town in Fort Collins, we've got a lot of leaves, a lot of trees that are going to show the fall colors, but a lot of the mountains are just, you know, pine trees. So you're not seeing much of the fall colors up there anyways, unless you get up to where there's loads of aspen trees. So I think since it's spring right now, and I'm so excited that it's spring and it's summer's coming, and I love the promise of summer that spring brings, I'm going to go spring wildflowers.
And then the last one, guys, do you guys prefer a long and gradual hike or short and steep hikes?
Ooh, I'd probably be long. Give me the length.
Oh, yeah. I'm endurance.
Yeah.
Not bravado.
Yeah.
Let's go out and go deep.
Yeah, let's go deep. Let's get some rhythm. Let's find some groove.
2 hours.
Let's immerse ourselves. Yeah. Yeah, I like the length, the lengthy ones.
All day.
Yeah.
Well, that was it for the this or that questions, guys. For listeners, if they want to check out not just the band, but also the video production company and any other projects that you have going on, where are some of the best places they can find you both on social media and online?
Yeah, if you just Google Stoked Ember or A Brothers Fountain, you'll see all the things. It's abrothersfountain.com, stokedemberproductions.com. And yeah, most of our handles are just at Stoked Ember and at A Brothers Fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, Instagram, Facebook, find us. We'd love to.
YouTube.
Have you come along for the journey.
Yes. TikTok. We're on most of the platforms. We like to say, hey, we're on Google, you know? If you're interested in the video production company, Google Stoked Ember. If you're interested in the band, Google A Brothers Fountain. And whichever way you like to experience content or follow, it's all there, ready for you.
Awesome, guys. Well, it's been a blast talking to you both and hearing about both of your guys' experiences over the years. Really excited for folks to listen to this episode, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Ivan.
Ivan, you're a great host, man.
Yeah, dude.
Awesome questions and
super
love
fun.
Doing this with you.
Super fun. Let's do it again.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside AJ and Justin. We extend a heartfelt thanks to them for coming on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow them on Instagram at stoked.ember and at A Brothers Fountain. Don't forget to check out their episode show notes for more. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the spring months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram at Ketsa Music.
The
This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.